Hello all, this is Vasant from All Out for No Loss, and I have with me Ramakrishnan G. Iyer. Hi Ram.
Hello Vasant, I am the impact sub for the evening today.
What we are going to do today is we're going to take a quick look at what these teams are doing so far, with the notable exception of Chennai Super Kings, about whom we talked for a long time in the last episode. Without further ado, let's dive in straight away from those who are at the bottom of the table, which is the defending champions, Kolkata Knight Riders.
Right. So yeah, three games for them. One win against an equally lowly ranked Rajasthan Royals and two losses. A surprising one, frankly, against RCB. But by the time they rolled on to the third game, it didn't feel like as much of a surprise because, I mean, I think the problem that they fundamentally seem to have right now is their star cast players aren't stepping up to take on the game, right? Venki Iyer is feeling the pressure of 23 crores sitting on his shoulders. Sunil Narayan, who actually took a break and saw his replacement Moin Ali do really well, came back into the squad and ended up not doing much. And that loss to MI was quiet, one-sided, is how I felt. So yeah, Kolkata Knight Riders at this stage are truly struggling.
I would concur with you. In fact, the only bright spot for the team has been Ankrish Raghuvanshi, who's batted pretty decently in all three games. But otherwise, they've really had nothing going for them. The other player who's been decent is Varun Chakravarti. He's been bowling pretty well, but he's going to bowl and they're going to just block him out, and then they're going to beat up on all the others. And I think Harshit Rana has been an absolute disappointment. Sunil Narayan is not scoring the way he was last year. Kolkata has got off to a poor start. What has to be noted is in this IPL, we've already had a situation wherein eight of the teams have suffered losses within their three games. So anything can happen. Nobody running away at the top. And more importantly, there's nobody who's absolutely down and out. Everybody's at minus one or at plus one. So I think it's still early days. But KKR, they need to do much more in case they really want to make any kind of impact.
Yep, absolutely. Moving on, let's look at Rajasthan Royals, ninth in the stack right now. Thoughts?
Yeah, so Rajasthan, they had their game plan wrong. Rana was coming in at four, Riyan Parag was coming in at three. And the moment they flipped Rana back to three and then moved Parag to four, things changed.
Yeah.
They might have found that as a possible solution. And Sanju Samson is back from the next game as the skipper.
That's right.
He has been cleared by
the NCAA test, right?
There's another thing that they probably should consider doing is look at playing Shimron Hartmayer much earlier. What's the point in playing him at eight? Let him play. Let him play a full innings. Let him come in at five behind a Parag, or maybe at six behind a Jurel.
Behind Jurel is a better spot. Having Hasaranga play ahead of him does not make any sense.
I think they were fortunate to win that game against hapless CSK. But that was really set up by Nitish Rana's batting in the beginning. And Hasaranga bowled well, but then I still don't think that was a four-wicket winning performance. Actually, I think that first over from Jofra Archer stumped CSK completely because they just didn't realize what was happening. And in two overs, or was it three overs, Archer was virtually unplayable.
Yeah.
And that first over...
One maiden, 13 runs and one wicket for Jofra.
First over was a maiden wicket. And even the in-form Rachin Ravindra was left clueless.
Correct.
Rajasthan Royals have their problems. I still don't think that they are really in with much of a shout. But if Jaiswal starts to fire and Sanju is back to his normal position, they just might be able to put up some good runs on the board and then hope that Archer has a good day.
What, in your opinion, is that a normal position for Sanju? You think he shouldn't be?
No, the way he's playing. He's been looking a little out of sorts. I mean, he needs to be a little bit more aggressive. And let's face it, some of the pressure is because they're very quickly one down, two down, and then it's makes things tougher for him. So I think Jaiswal is the key. If Jaiswal gets going, rather than worrying about, hey, I want to captain Goa and I want to captain a Ranji team, which seems to have been the driver for him to move from Mumbai.
Yeah.
I think RR could well be in a happier frame of mind. And who are they playing next? Do we know?
They are playing PBKS on the 5th of April.
That's about the Royals. Let's move on to Sunrisers Hyderabad. So what do you think about the Sunrisers Hyderabad?
So the much wanted batting lineup did not quite fire against the Delhi guys. And they had to lean on this brilliant knock from Verma. He played brilliantly. I watched that game. That chap seriously knows how to hit sixes. And that was the first game I actually saw in some detail. I saw the Henrik Klassen and Aniket Verma partnership. And I thought he played so well, especially when we saw the much wanted, more famous names, you know, be it Abhishek, be it Travis, Nitish Kumar, none of them really worked out, right? That was literally a sight to behold. But again, because of the fact that they lost too many wickets, they had to sub Van Mulder into the side ahead of Adam Zampa. So they lost a bowling that Adam Zampa would have otherwise provided to them. So literally like a bowler shot in that sense. And of course, you know, when the Delhi guys batted, Faf was fantastic. Abhishek Purel, who, by the way, had such a fantastic SMAT, rediscovered some of that touch. So Abhishek Purel coming back into this thing as well. So yeah, two games later, Delhi still being unbeaten, almost at the top of the tree, was something we didn't expect. But we'll come to that when we talk about Delhi. I think what seems to be happening, at least in the case of is Hyderabad, is that this whole slam bang, hit every ball, you know, tactic isn't quite working for them because some of their batters have been found out. And IPL is famous for teams and bowlers doing their homework and coming into bowl, and they aren't just able to get things going.
Something we predicted right in the beginning of the tournament, we always said that one questionable situation for SRH was if they are something for four very quickly, then they will get into a lot of trouble. And that's precisely what's going on. They're losing their wickets very quickly. And I mean, some of it is almost comical. And there has been some level of bad luck, but they don't have the bowling. Pat Cummins is not the bowler he is in T20s and IPLs, and the rest of it is really poor. Yeah. In fact, only Zeeshan Ansari and Adam Zampa have been of good value for them. And Mohammad Shami, you can bowl him in the beginning, but towards the end, he'll get hit.
Yeah.
All along, everyone knew that the bowling was a little suspect. And when the batting fails, then these guys were going to be in trouble.
Correct.
But then again, I mean, this was the model on which they were operating, baseball style, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Come and try to outscore the guys. You hit 250, I'll raise 260. That's it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But that didn't happen. In the seventh position, the Chennai Super Kings, yeah. We had a whole episode on their woes.
So we'll skip that and go to number six.
Move on to Lucknow Super Giants.
Yeah, again, right? Two losses, one win coming against SRH, right? And predictably lost against Punjab in the last game. Primarily, I think they need to work out what is going on with their bowling. They need to work out what is it that they can do to bring Mayank Yadav back from wherever he is as quickly as possible, because, you know, they are truly, truly struggling. Shardul Thakur, he's at his moments, like he always does. Ravi Bishnoi has been a disappointment. This completely unknown chap called Digvesh Rathi is outperforming him every game, similar bowlers, to the extent that Digvesh Rathi has now been brought into bowl during the power play. And Digvesh Rathi isn't doing badly.
Yep.
Right? And of course, he had this famous little bit of a run-in with Priyanka Arya in the last game. He is certainly my captain for the players who need a haircut 11.
I would second that. So,
but these chaps who've come out of the blue, apparently playing the Delhi Premier League, have all kind of made a mark, right? Digvesh Rathi is a pretty good example. And so is Priyansh Arya.
Arya.
Neither of whom, like any of us, frankly, knew anything about till they suddenly showed up in this game and started playing his team off against each other. So back to sort of the story with Lucknow Super Giants, like still their bowling continues to be non-existent and they need to figure out a way to bring Mayank back.
I would concur. I mean, and there's one more person who's been non-existent with his performances, which is Rishabh Pant, both in front and behind the stumps. And that is very costly. it's not a good sign. And the more this continues, the more he'll be under pressure of that whole 27 crore business. And then we've got a mercurial owner there. So you never know.
that guy is like just like the sun rises in the east. Each time Lucknow loses a game, he is having a serious conversation with himself.
This is not new. In fact, way back when he was running the Pune Super Giants, he famously sacked Dhoni from the captaincy after the first year. I'm sure all of these situations, stuff happens behind the scenes when people get yelled at and all. But it doesn't need to be in public. It doesn't need to be on a public forum, right? So.
But again, one another bright spot on the Lucknow side that I frankly did not expect is Abdul Samad. Abdul Samad has consistently been finishing well for the Lucknow.
He's doing his job.
Not sure.
But they do have an ability to turn around. I still don't understand why they don't play Shamar Joseph ahead of Aidan Markram. That might just make a much needed difference to their bowling lineup. Who's the coach for Justin Langer? He should know better than
Justin Langer is just there. I mean, they have Zahir Khan and Justin Langer.
Okay.
Pretty smart cricketing team. But it appears it's Sanjeev Goenka who actually runs the team, right?
No, you talk as Zahir Khan, of all people, sitting and complaining about the pitches. You were saying this pitch is suiting Punjab Kings.
Loved Anand's rant on Fleming and the pitch in the CSK episode from a couple of days ago.
I mean, exactly.
Now it's fashion. If Fleming can complain about the Chennai pitch, I can jolly well complain about any pitch, right?
It's silly. And not after that Punjab game, wherein they were thoroughly beaten.
The KKR guys have been complaining about the pitch for a while, right? There's this chap called Sujon Mukherjee, who is the curator of the Eden Gardens. Apparently, he doesn't listen to anyone.
No, even his predecessor was like that. He used to have fights with the Indian team.
Yeah. I think it is the same chap, Sujon Mukherjee.
Is it? Same chap?
Sujon Mukherjee has been the uncrowned king of the Eden Gardens for literally centuries now.
Then it's the same chap. It's not the... there is a track record. He doesn't listen to anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Mumbai Indians.
So finally, they come good in that game against KKR, which was fantastic. It was a great game to watch. I think Ryan Rickerton finally figured out how to play on Indian pitches, I think. So that was good. And of course, Surya Kumar Yadav, who got 27 runs of 9 balls, striking at 300. There was one more guy who was striking at 300. We'll bring him up when his team comes up. Surya Kumar Yadav striking at 300 was a sight to behold.
But man, Bolt Chahar is just so very good. And of course, that new boy, Ashwini Kumar.
Correct.
He comes out of nowhere. A little lucky. He threw out a wide one outside the off stump and Ajinkya Rahane managed to find that one fielder in that entire postal code. But still, credit to him. He picked up 4. He looked in very good shape. Mumbai is looking like the Mumbai expected them to look. They look absolutely professionals, and which is why I always have had them as the favorites for the tournament.
I think absolutely. And certainly Hardik Pandya's availability seems to be making a difference. I like the couple of personnel changes that they made to finally give Will Jacks a game, which I thought, I mean, he didn't do much. That's a different topic altogether. But Will Jacks, I mean, isn't this the place where he, at the Wankhede, he made that big 100 for playing for RCB against...
Correct. He hit last 15, 10 balls crazy. Or something like that, right?
Yeah, completely crazy. I think it was good. It was a well-calculated move. But playing Mujib ahead of Puttur in that earlier game didn't make any sense to me.
No.
I mean, especially after the way that this young kid made his debut. I mean, they sat him out and played Mujib. Puttur got his second game.
They're just waiting for Mr. Rohit Sharma to hit form.
Yes.
And
every other fellow called Sharma has hit form.
Was it against GT? He was actually cleaned up by a Siraj special that day.
And I saw the way Siraj was bowling. I'm like, look, this guy is going to be a revelation in the RCB game. And so it turned out.
I'm so annoyed. We'll talk about the Gujarat Titans next. Yeah, but I'm so annoyed about Siraj and Prasidh. I think this is a good segue. Siraj and Prasidh. And Gujarat Titans.
Yeah. So when was the last time they bowled badly and really, really badly? Oh, I remember. It was the BGT.
I mean, and they bowled like they bowled against RCB. Just 6 overs. That would have been enough. Australia wouldn't have crossed 50 on that track.
Yeah.
They were unplayable. Some of the stuff that Krishna was dishing out was unbelievable. And the average speed of Siraj today was 140. The ball was on the stumps, is putting pressure constantly. There was only one or two loose deliveries here. And of course, why would you play only two foreigners?
I actually thought for a second it was like a typo when I saw the score, the squad in this thing. Then I realized they didn't play Kahiso Rabada for whatever reason.
Isn't that a recipe to play Mr. Glenn Phillips? What are you doing with Tevatia?
No brainer, right?
Glenn Phillips today would have caught not only his catch, but the catches of the three other catches that those other guys dropped, he would have caught that also. He would have been able to run over there and catch them.
Despite having the choice to play Glenn Phillips and Sherfin Rutherford, now that this guy had dropped out, they chose not to play Glenn Phillips. And again, it was Sherfin Rutherford who was subbed in to bat. So that was thing one. Thing two was they had, what's his name? Gerald Kotze.
Yeah.
He was literally like a like-for-like replacement for
Rabada. Yeah.
So if Rabada wasn't playing for whatever reason, wouldn't you simply induct this guy so that you keep your template or balance or whatever it is like exactly the same? They won the match.
I didn't understand what they were up to. In fact, because otherwise this team can be very, very good. I mean, I really don't know what Tevatia is doing. They can play Glenn Phillips that takes care of their batting woes because there's no batting after number four. He can bowl.
Correct.
And then the guy, or they can play Mr. Shah Rukh Khan, who anyway is not going to do anything, who's seemingly getting games just because of the other Shah Rukh Khan. His name sounds like that. But a word on Sai Kishore.
Did you see that ball that he bowled to dismiss Krunal Pandya?
I did.
Weird delivery. I mean, somebody who asked, Murali Karthik asked him after the game, dude, what were you exactly bowling? And Ravi Shastri was in commentary. He made some statement about, I don't know what he just did there, but he did something weird and he completely deceived Krunal Pandya. So he was asked at the end of interview, and he described it as a carambol and then proceeded to say, I have never bowled that particular carambol in any game. I just felt like it. So today I bowled it. I've been working on it for a couple of years. I thought it was fascinating.
The only flaw is that he missed a catch, which if he had stayed on the boundary line, he would have held him. There was another drop, but I think
there was a second one as well, like three people converging.
Yeah, but then everybody was sitting and doing nothing there. I mean, in fact, this guy was further away. Some of the other guys were sitting and watching and directing traffic.
Correct.
And Butler dropped salt. He missed a stumping of Livingston. Talking of stumpings, I know a certain other keeper who wears number 7 would have stumped this guy and then had a cup of tea before this guy would have come back in.
Okay. Butler with a bat, Vasant. My goodness.
He looked like Butler of old.
He looked like the old Butler, exactly.
When he hits the ball for a 6, you just hear a very thin, small sound. It shows how well it is timed.
Yeah.
And he himself said at the end of the game that he played a few months of unenjoyable cricket.
When he was captaining the English side.
He was captaining England.
When he turned in his resignation, he literally said, I want to go back to being the world-class batter that I know I can be. I think I've got most of the words right.
Yep.
Which was very revealing. He was clearly having no fun captaining the English side. And his batting had gone to the dogs. And they had weird tactics like batting him at 6 or some such nonsense. He should be opening, in my opinion, even for the GT.
He should be opening.
But Sai Sudarshan cannot be shaken at the top of the order now.
I think they can just make Shubman Gill go at 3 and he'll be just fine.
It is the closest to the Indian pace attack, the Indian red ball pace attack.
Mm-hmm.
Consisting of the former great Ishan Sharma and of course two of the present. And yeah, if this is how they bowl, they should both be on a flight to
England. The only thing I could think is like, guys, why didn't you do this on January 6th or 7th in Sydney. If we had done that, we would have been still having the Border Gavaskar Trophy. We would have won that match. There was no way Australia was going to get to that 150, 160. But
anyway,
it would have been a famous win. Without Bumrah, if we had rolled them over, they would have just terminated any further conversation from any Australian for the next 2 years.
Royal Challengers.
Royal Challengers Bengaluru. Once again, we are like great away from home. When we get home, we have all sorts of problems. Today, a lot of people panned Gill's decision to bowl first, saying, why are you bowling first? Everybody bats first here, and so on and so forth. Decision was spot on, and these guys just didn't know what hit them. I still believe RCB is a very good team. Today, they batted badly, and they lost because of that. They need Virat, though, to keep the ship on course.
Correct.
And if he is there, they absolutely are a force to reckon. Today, 1 year in either direction, that would have been a 4 or a 6. RCB is a good team. I still think that they're more than a force and they could very well be in the playoffs with what they've shown in the first 2 days. In fact, I think among the teams that we've talked about so far, it's Mumbai and RCB who have been the best. More than even, say, Gujarat Titans. I think Gujarat Titans beat them today, but I'm not very convinced about them. But RCB and Mumbai have the balance, have the team. It was just a loss here. So
Gujarat Titans are lucky that their top three are really firing. Semi-firing, but Butler and Sudarshan really firing. So, like, number 4 and 5 onwards, you know, Tivati, Ash.
There's nothing. There's just nothing. I mean, if they keep on not playing Phillips, they deserve this kind of...
That is a problem. They need to relook the Glenn Phillips decision for sure.
And today was like, you don't have Rabada, you play Phillips or you play Coetzee, as you say. Let's move on to the Delhi Capitals, a team that found a captain very late, lost their premier foreign batter.
Correct.
And just like that, they are looking in wonderful shape. In spite of the fact that Jake Fraser-McGurker is not scoring any runs, he's actually struggling.
Yeah, no, he fired finally this occasion in the last game that they played against the Sunrisers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was okay against the Sunrisers.
Oh, you saw his strike rate. His strike rate was...
118. 38 of 32 balls. Super slow.
Yeah, this guy is a 218 guy, not 118. Yeah. So,
but the guy who had the strike rate in this game was KL Rahul.
Yep.
Striking at 300. 15 runs of 5 balls. 2 fours, 1 6.
Magak, Faf is looking ageless. Porel is batting. KL Rahul, Stubbs is to come to form, but he's there. Then Ashu Sharma is there. Yeah. And then they have Akshar Patel. Akshar Patel is batting at 7.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean,
amazing, this character called Vipraj Nigam.
Vipraj Nigam. Yeah. So, and Vipraj Nigam will bat at 8, Mitchell Stark at 9, Kuldeep Yadav at 10, and then Mohit Sharma at 11. I mean, this team bats deep. It's got a top-notch bowling attack, 2 world-class spinners, and of course, one of the greatest left-arm fast bowlers of all time. What more do you need? And Mukesh Kumar, I don't know, I think he had an injury a couple of games ago, but if Mukesh Kumar is fit, then their bowling attack between Mukesh and Mitchell Stark in the beginning will be quite something. I think Delhi Capitals have been the surprise team of this tournament.
So far,
I did not expect them to float around, but I will say one thing. I think both Ashwin and P-Dog very clearly said that this is a very good team. And even Vimal had Delhi very high up, saying that Delhi is a very good team. Don't underestimate them. We're now moving on to the
unlikely tabletopers.
The Punjab Kings. Punjab doing Punjab things. What do you think?
Shreyas Iyer all the way, right? Pretty much.
149 runs, unbeaten, at probably a strike rate of more than 160. And the way the runs are delightful. He seems to be able to do whatever he wants. Not just him. Arya, their opener, was very exciting. And then Prabhsimran Singh is back among the runs.
Okay. You have to say Prabhsimran all over again.
Yeah.
After that, you have to say Gurjapreet as well.
Yeah. It's like a test.
it's a time-pressure test.
Yeah.
But yeah, Prabhu Samrat.
Yeah, and then unfortunately for them, Maxi is not in form and Stoinis is not getting to bat. But then, and then they have Shashank Singh. If they
And Nehal Vadra in the last game, right? I was so struck by how similar to Yuvraj Singh Nehal Vadra plays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Abhishek Sharma is the so-called well-known protege of Yuvraj Singh right now.
Correct.
But I mean, he's a very different style compared to Yuvraj. This guy, on the other hand, I was like, the way he was hitting some of those, the cover drives and the pull shots and stuff, I'm like, dude, this guy looks more like Yuvraj than, you know, anyone else.
And did notice they did one more thing. They sat Omarzai out.
Yes.
And strengthened their bowling, getting Lockie in.
Correct.
Because I think they have now a lot of confidence that they can play Vadera at 4. Mm. Then they can play Maxwell at 5, Stoinis at 6. They can play Shashank at 7. They have Shedgay at 8.
Oh, yeah. That's,
and Marco Jansen at 9. This is the batting lineup. For bowling, they have Yuzi Chahal, who's going to bowl and get out of there, right? The way they're going about it. It's been quite spectacular. Then again, we know how things work, right, in this tournament. We talk about a team and then boom, they get rolled over by somebody else.
And remember, they still haven't managed to find Josh Inglis a spot in that playing 11, which just is so mind-blowing.
What I loved so far in this tournament so far, nobody has run away.
Completely unpredictable, yeah.
And in an ideal world, what would be the best case scenario, especially for the IPL management crew is when they go into the last round of games, all 10 teams are in the mix. It's so good that teams are so tight and close to each other. So given that, I think it's awesome. Because I'm pretty sure by the time we come back a week from now, we might see a completely different picture because that's what we thought. So anyway, let's quickly jump over to the next set of games.
Yeah, for game 15 onwards, right?
The game 16 onwards.
16 onwards.
Yeah, so there is a game 15, but
it'll be
done by the time this is out. Game 16 onwards, LSG versus MI in Lucknow. I really cannot see MI being beaten, but it'll require a Nicky Puran show.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the way he played against SRH, right?
Correct.
Basically, one-man army, he trebucheted them.
Yep, absolutely. But they don't have the bowling. That will be cannon fodder, and they bowl to Surya Kumar Yadav on this.
Saturday, Chennai-Delhi doubleheader.
Day game. It's a day game. Delhi is looking very, very good.
Very good, right.
Chennai is looking very anemic. Even though it is in Chennai, looking at current form, I will be surprised if Chennai will be able to hold off Delhi. Incidentally, on that day, we will see the entire Indian Red Ball spin quartet from not so long ago. We have Ashwin and Jadeja, Aksar and Kuldeep.
Ooh.
The opposite sides, but that'll be, if the track is going to spin, you'll get the four best in the country at it.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So,
too bad. Washington Sundar won't be around.
Then we go on to Mullanpur, where Punjab is at home against Rajasthan.
They should win easily.
This Rajasthan team will struggle. There's not much to say. If you look at the Sunrisers versus Gujarat, with Sunrisers, you can't predict anything. If they bat the way they bat, they will just overwhelm this Gujarat team.
Correct.
But they don't have the bowling to go beyond 3 wickets.
Yeah.
That's the other side of it. So I'm going to be on the fence on this one because it's really how Sunrisers play.
Tight one. I think I'm going to go with Sunrisers simply because they are hosting Gujarat. But let's see.
And then Mumbai at home against RCB. That is going to be a big game. RCB team cannot be written off because between Josh and Bhuvi, if they bowl first, they can exploit the conditions quite substantially. But I think Mumbai has a little bit too much armory here. And then over to the Tuesday morning game between KKR and LSG. That probably is going to be the boring game of the week.
I'm not sure who's going to win this one. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
an Eden Gardens game. So who knows if their big guns do fire, Venki Iyer, Sunil Narayan, KKR, they might win.
True. Yeah, but KKR needs Venki Iyer to fire. This is not going to cut it for very long. Then on to Wednesday, Gujarat versus Rajasthan in Ahmedabad. It's all about whether Rajasthan can make inroads into the Gujarat batting. Otherwise, they won't be able to stop the Gujarat top three, and that'll be the end of the game.
Pretty much.
And then the Gujarat fast bowling unit is good. It's very good. So,
correct.
And on Thursday, we have RCB hosting Delhi.
Another Bengaluru game. So there's no way RCB is going to win. I mean, the Chinnaswamy Stadium is RCB's kryptonite. So, yeah, it's going to be a long home season for RCB.
What I fear for RCB in that game, that Jake Fraser-McGurk's bat will make contact with the ball.
Yeah, the moment it makes contact, out of the stadium.
And if that happens in Chinnaswamy,
yeah,
that's the end of that. In 6 overs, the game will be over.
3 meters is a 6, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you look at the ball with some anger, the ball runs away to the boundary. That's
yeah. Pretty much. And
that will be the last game we'll be talking about in this episode. Overall, to summarize, I think Punjab has become the team to beat. Unless, of course, by Sunday we have to change our minds.
To be fair, Vasant, I mean, we've been so far off with our predictions so far.
Incredibly.
Yeah. I mean, so another boo-boo here, another boo-boo there will not make any difference.
No. I mean, we've already got ourselves into a hole. I like this tournament to be such that there is no winner. And
it could be unpredictable. And, yeah. I mean,
and if you're not really very vested in Team A or Team B or Team C, it's fine. Somebody wins. It's okay. Make
as
the
game. You play good cricket, right? I find myself enjoying the game a lot more in that space. I have no position in any of the teams. Just play good cricket and I'll be there to support you.
My interest here in this tournament is actually to look at the youngsters play and then hopefully the tournament is tight.
We kind of tracked the game pretty decently. And I had no idea who Priyank Arya was till he played that game and made the runs he did.
Yep.
So it's always nice.
No, I had heard that name. But Digvesh Rathi, Vansh Bedi, who are these guys?
Yeah, Vansh Bedi. Vansh Bedi at least hasn't played. Who knows? He might. Or even this other chap, Vipraj.
Vipraj Nigam.
He announced himself in that game where Ashutosh Sharma famously finished 60.
No, but for Vipraj's innings, there was no Ashutosh heroics or anything.
Exactly.
And that is what the beauty is about the IPL. I mean, it goes back to allowing youngsters, people who are new, just make a name for themselves. It just goes to show the depth of this setup that we have in India. Before we wind up, to all our listeners, I would recommend that you listen to an episode of Acquired.fm. It's a podcast about various things. In particular, there's a very recent podcast about IPL. It's a fascinating listen. It's a long one. It's over 4 hours. It tells you about how IPL came to be, what has happened, and most importantly, about the whole business, how it's run, how it's done, what happens, what are media rights, and what kind of money flows around, and how does it compare with other leagues.
We'll stick a link when we publish.
We'll stick a link in the show notes. With that, it's a wrap. Looking forward to the next week of action. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.